Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello there, Why Are People Into That fans. So your feed is going to be a little different this November. I have a lot of tape to catch up on, including recordings from all the live shows I've been doing. So I'm going to focus on editing and publishing those, as well as putting out a few interrobangs. And I'm going to skip this month's official Why Are People Into That segment. So just to be clear, there's still going to be tons of content in your feed this month. It's just going to be mostly live stuff. And I know you're going to love it. So, I've been reflecting on how much my Patreon patrons mean to me, and I want to give them all individual shoutouts by name. I'm going to do a few today, and a few in the episodes coming out later this month, so if you don't hear your name today, keep listening. I know you will. Oh, and if you want to hear your name on my lips, all you have to do is give the show monthly support at patreon.com/TINAHORN. So, big shout out and hugs and maybe consensual spanks for those who like it to Daniel, Ben with two N's, Erica, William, Alan and Arwin, Andrew, Renzo, Lance, Charles A, Mon Leather, Ethan, Charles G, Nick, Rowan, Alexis, Amelia, Sophie, Ben W, John, Bex, and Katie. I love you all so much. I'm sort of imagining you all as like a little party. It would be so cool if we could all get together. Let's make that happen. Thank you all so much for supporting Indie Pervert Media. Don't forget, if you're not already a Patreon patron, you can get episodes several weeks early, you can get exclusive content like audio from my workshops, and just a chance to get to know me better. That's patreon.com/TINAHORN. As you know, the Pleasure Chest continues to support Why Are People Into That, and I'm so proud to work with this amazing, queer-owned and operated sex-positive organization. Pleasure Chest stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago will be hosting Small Business Saturday celebrations November 25th, which is the Saturday after Thanksgiving. They'll have snacks, drinks, mini workshops, sensation stations, and more. Also, PleasureChest.com is offering a 15% off sale over Thanksgiving weekend. So when you're feeling maybe stressed from trying to explain colonialism to your distant relatives, you can get some relief by splurging on vibrators, lube, butt plugs, erotica, bondage gear, and much more. Okay, thanks for ebbing and flowing with me. And now, enjoy this footage from Why Are People Into That Live at the Pleasure Chest in New York City from this September. The Virgo edition. Special thanks to my Virgo guests, Maisha Battle and Carly, to the Pleasure Chest, who's also a Virgo, for hosting, and to everybody who came out, Virgos and other people, to schmooze and enjoy this first edition of an ongoing monthly series, to Justine McClellan for stellar audio engineering, to Acast for sponsoring the audio, and to Treasure Empire for this amazing music. Follow at TINAHORNSASS on Twitter and Instagram, give me 5 stars on iTunes, and spread the Why Are People Into That gospel. And if you're in New York City or surrounding areas, come to one of the shows and say hi. The next one is December 7th. I don't bite, really.
So I'm so glad that you're all here, and welcome to the very first official live Why Are People Into That at the Pleasure Chest in New York City. If you want to just participate by screaming in ecstasy so that we can get that on the microphones, that would be really great. So let's do it one more time. Welcome to the very first official Why Are People Into That live at the Pleasure Chest in New York City. Yes, we are in like Billy Joel and Madison Square Garden, eating your heart out. Okay, so I'm Tina Horn. Why Are People Into That is my podcast. I've been producing and hosting it for going on 4 years now. In case you were not aware, it is a show about sex, but also kink and gender and love. If you're not into any of those things, I don't know why you're here, but I hope that you will be into it soon. Like I said, I've been doing the show for a long time. I have a different guest every episode, so there's a little bit of an interview, social community dynamic, but in some ways it can be really isolating, right? Just like sex work, just like dating sometimes, right? So I am so excited to be starting a live series where I can engage more with my community and maybe answer your questions or hear your perspectives and really sort of like mold the show to be more of what you want, because without my fans and community, I would just be a person in my apartment with a microphone, putting it on the internet. The Pleasure Chest has been in New York City for 46 years. This particular store has been here for
4 years exactly.
I'm sure you saw the kinds of things that are sold here. In case you didn't get a chance to peruse extensively, you should know that because you're here tonight, you get 15% off of any shopping that you do while you're here. Yeah, I can see from your faces that's what you're really here for. You're like, okay, get the talking over with so we can go shop. I feel fine about that. And beyond the 15% off shopping, you also will all get a chance to win this fabulous gift from the Pleasure Chest. So it's a little kit, and it comes with a vibrating pebble, which is basically like a little external like travel vibe, and glitter pasties. So this was chosen for me. I have no idea why they thought that that would be something that I would be into. So we're gonna do a little raffle in a little bit. So I think you all got raffle tickets to start with, and then if any of you wants to ask a question at any point, you will be incentivized by getting more raffle tickets and more of a chance to get some glitter on your tits tonight. So without further ado, I want to tell you about the aforementioned thing that I'm so excited about this particular event, which is that my birthday is on Saturday, and the Pleasure Chest's anniversary is September. And these two amazing people sitting next to me actually have the same birthday, which was earlier this week. What that means is that this is all Virgo, all the time, in the house tonight. Is anybody else a Virgo?
Yes! So two Virgo Maishas in the room.
Two Virgo Maishas.
That is rare.
Also Beyonce, yeah. Virgo. So, you know, lots of important people in your lives. So I'm really excited about that. It was like kind of by design and kind of coincidence. So it feels pretty cosmic. So I've been talking for so long, I really want to introduce you to my panelists. So I'm going to start with Carly, who is over here with the glittery, amazing glasses. So Carly is a sex educator who works here at the Pleasure Chest and has worked here for 3 years. She is also an amazing sex blogger. Her blog has an amazing name, which is Dildo or Dill Don't. And the URL for that is dildo or dildon't.wordpress.com. And in addition to that, she is also an independent pornographer and porn performer. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later. How are you feeling, fellow Virgo?
I feel great. My birthday was very lovely. I actually got engaged.
Mazel tov!
Yeah, so it was very eventful. But yeah, I've actually been at the Pleasure Chest 4 years technically, because I helped put the store together. So I was here like bringing boxes of lube and toys up. sweating because the air conditioner wasn't put in until after the toys. I left for about a year. I worked at another store that I won't mention because they were not sex positive, and they drove me away, and now I'm back here and I'm very happy. And I started my blog because I would like for everyone to have pleasure and orgasms and whatever makes them happy, and I want to make everyone feel comfortable with sex.
You're doing the goddess's work.
Yeah.
And my other panelist, if you guys subscribe to the show, you may have already heard an interview that we did about a month ago. That's live in your feeds right now. But you're going to get the actual live in the flesh version right now. So this is Maisha Battle, Maisha Virgo number one. Maisha is a certified sex coach. Now, no shade, but a lot of people call themselves sex coaches, but Maisha actually has not only a master's degree in psychology, right? But is also a certified sex coach, so no joke. And she is also a podcaster. She is the host of the Down for Whatever podcast, which if you like this show, you will definitely like hers. Do you want to say hi and tell everybody a little bit about yourself and how you're feeling?
Sure, yeah. I am out here from the Bay Area, where I usually am. I was out here for a wedding, and I just have to say how honored I am that we just met in person and had like an epic hang slash recording sesh, and then you were like, come back next month, like let's do this again. So super, super honored. Thank you for having me back, and I'm excited to be here with you guys.
I mean, it may have had something to do with the fact that you like blew my mind with like several things that I had never heard of or like thought that much about, including dinosaur role plays, like not necessarily like kind of like the equivalent of like dinosaur furries, but like obviously not fur, like scalies, I guess. And then also Nuru, which I feel like maybe we could dive into talking about for a little bit. Do you have an opinion about Nuru?
My birthday party was almost a lube wrestling party, and I was gonna get the big thing of Nuru, but I could only find two people that wanted to wrestle me because my friends are lame. So like, here's putting it out there for like future. If anyone wants to lube wrestle me, let's do this.
I mean,
and if you want to record it and sell it, even better.
On my ankle heels.
Yes.
Does anybody know what Nuru is? I like had never heard of it, which is amazing because I've heard of everything. Will you guys explain what Nuru is?
Yeah, well, I brought it up to you because I think we were talking about different types of porn or things that I was drawn towards.
Yeah, you were talking about slippery porn.
Yeah, and I like massage porn a lot. So it actually is a very slippery slope into, thank you, into Nuru from there. So it was probably like, you know, there was like a pop-up or something, and I clicked, and I love Nuru porn.
But can you explain what Nuru is?
Yeah, it's like this very viscous, like almost lube-like.
Yeah, so it's like
thicker.
Seaweed extract, basically. So like, it like is almost like vagina lubrication,
yeah.
So it's
like
really like kind of gooey and like awesome, and it's good for like body to body massage because you just like slide all over, and it's amazing. Yeah,
body to body massage, also known as like just like
yeah,
like rubbing yourself
like
on some. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That reminds me of this porn I saw once when I was a porn reviewer for Fleshbot, which was called Snail Trails. Has anybody seen snail trail porn? So I had never heard this term before, but I bet all of your minds are working overtime figuring out what it is. Basically, it was like ladies scissoring and then like pulling themselves apart really slowly so that they're like vaginal secretions and maybe Nuru, to be honest, but like definitely like very viscous lube would like, they would like pull it apart slowly, and so these little like snail trails would like appear. It was kind of like in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when they ate pizza and then just like pull the cheese. It was like that.
The way you're describing it makes it's like almost like ASMR to me. Mm-hmm. Like it's like that, like watching ASMR.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, and I guess it does make a nice, like, squishy sound if you're into squishy things.
Yeah. That's cool.
Why are people into that? Why are people into Nuru?
I told you that I hadn't done it. And, like, I think it's, like, this epic thing also where it requires so much to do it. I mean, I like the concept of it so much, but I haven't, it's one of the things that I haven't been able to actually get into.
Oh, I've done it.
You've done it.
As soon as I find out about something and we sell it here, I buy it and
so
I try it.
So do we sell
Neurogel? Yeah, we sell Neurogel.
Cool. So yeah. If you guys are titillated.
Yeah, and they sell like a whole kit where it's basically like a shower curtain, but like I have a shower curtain, so like I didn't need to buy the kit. But basically you put it down so your clothes and bed and whatever don't get stained and you just slide all over each other.
Wow, sounds like a tarp.
Yeah, so yeah. I've done that, but I really wanted to like wrestle someone in it because I feel like it would be magical.
Crazy.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
I mean, you want to have this experience.
Yeah.
You need more people to wrestle.
Yeah.
Maybe we've just, and I'm sure you would both like to make some more money off of those videos.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Yeah, okay, so we have a business plan.
Yep.
So now that we've, any other things that you want to say about Nuru? Does anybody else out there like Nuru or slippery, sticky, like gooey porn or experiences, even like splashing food? Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Great. Okay. So now that we've got that out of the way, are you guys ready to play some more wire people into that?
Yeah.
Like rapid fire games? Okay. I'm going to start with one that I know that you both have opinions about. And I haven't actually done an episode about this yet, so this is gonna be fun. Why are people into the G-spot?
Well, I mean, the G-spot's complicated, right? People are into it because it's marketed as this magic button of female sexual pleasure. And if you find it, you've somehow unlocked some second or third level of enjoyment for a woman.
Mm.
And it's like the holy grail for people.
Mm.
But what we know about it is that it's not a spot at all. There's an organ that is inside the vagina, just a, you know, 1 to 2 inches inside. And it's also miraculous that that organ grows.
You're talking about the urethral sponge?
Yes.
Yeah.
But not only that, does it become engorged, but the more you work that area, it actually will grow more areas of secretion.
Oh.
Like it grows. It's an organ inside. Yeah, this is new shit. And so people are into the G-spot because it has this allure of like getting you to some magical, mystical place where I think like really it's a part of us that exists that like many other parts of female sexuality have just gone unstudied, unnoticed, and you know, yeah, we're learning more and more about this area, which is the Skene's gland, actually.
Mm.
Was misidentified as the, you know, G-spot. So
do you have something to add?
Yeah,
about why people
I
are
think
into it?
From more of like a porn angle and like visually speaking, I think that people have seen so much of it in porn that they're like, I would love to do that at home.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day that it comes down to that it's like more of a visual orgasm for people that aren't ejaculating generally. So like I think people that are into squirting are into seeing like a visual representation of an orgasm because generally like, especially because like people with like clits and vaginas like are known to fake it because people don't know how to stimulate said clits and vaginas and G-spots and stuff like that. So like to see a visual representation of someone actually having pleasure and orgasming is like really powerful.
So what you're saying is that G-spot stimulation often leads to squirting.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So and that's the thing that you mean that people see in porn, because
mm-hmm.
it's interesting, like when you talk about seeing it in porn, like there is also, I think that contributes to the mystery of it, right? Because some people know how to like get in there, but like unless you have like a fancy medical camera, you can't actually see like what they're doing in there,
yeah.
Right? So it's like somebody knows how to like go in that hole and like do the like magic stuff, and then all of a sudden gushing is happening,
mm-hmm.
right? So and it looks great and is almost like fantastical, like dragons and unicorns,
yeah.
In porn. What are some ways that somebody can actually like get in touch with that sensation and get in touch with that part of their body in or their partner's body IRL?
A lot of women already have that sensation and they feel that it is one of two things, either too intense, so they pull back from it, or they feel as if they're going to pee. Because you know, if you are stimulating the Skene's gland to the point where it's filling up with fluid and then you can ejaculate, you do have this full feeling. And, you know, yeah, it comes out of your urethra, so there's going to be urea in the ejaculation fluid. And that's highly contested too, and I don't know why that's super important. The fact is, sometimes you pee when you have sex, and it's fine.
And there's urine in male ejaculate too, so like I don't understand why it's a big deal when people with vaginas do
spread
it.
Spread that everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that it's something that you can certainly explore on your own. Mm-hmm. It's good to have a partner to kind of work through it and give you some feedback, but you can do it on your own too.
Yeah.
If you were gonna do it on your own,
huh?
Yeah.
Would this be maybe not a good place to start? Although I don't know, maybe for some people.
Listen, you're not missing the G spot with that toy.
Right?
So, can you tell us what this toy is, both for the audience that might not know, and also for the listeners at home? I'm not holding it up to the mic. So
So earlier Tina had asked me what my favorite G-spot toy, and I laughed because it's the 11, and the 11 is from Enjoy, and they make stainless steel toys. So it's 11 inches and I think 5 pounds of stainless steel. So there is a smaller end and a larger end, but generally they're both pretty large. And I like it because after you've done lots of warm-up, if you put that in and you jiggle it ever so slightly, it is hitting up against the G-spot and it's magical.
And because it's so heavy, and Enjoy makes a lot of different insertable toys, which I love and will endorse for the rest of my days, the heaviness, not all of them are as girthy and heavy as the 11, but the heaviness basically like works with gravity to like put pressure on your G-spot or your prostate or whatever you've got going on, whatever spots you want to name yourself that are inside you that you like pressure on. And so that makes them really good for solo play and partner play as well. There's something about that weight that is also really nice if what you want is a feeling of fullness or a feeling of pressure inside, as opposed to like in out friction. Just, it's not even like an either or thing. It might just be like a variety thing.
You could also substitute some reps at the gym with that thing. Just make sure you're alternating hands.
My dream is that someone breaks into my apartment because it lives right on the side of my bed, and I get to beat them to death with this thing that's been inside of me. And one day I just hope that I end up on News 12 The Bronx, and I'm just like, yeah, I killed them.
many benefits for you and your loved ones.
I feel very safe having it by my bed.
And, you know, it is definitely a higher price point, but when you have 15% off, this might be the nice to get it.
So, anyway, I cannot endorse this toy enough.
We used to use the 11 back in my queer porn days in San Francisco a lot, because it is also like just visually like such an amazing
thing
to watch. Yeah, totally. And you can see yourself in it, so you can like check your lipstick while you're fucking someone. It's the best.
Do you have a G-spot toy that you like?
I do. It's not that big.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a tiny kind of like eggplant, but not the vibrating eggplant. It's glass.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so it has like a big bulbous head.
Nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like any of the toys that are made of harder materials that don't have a lot of give, like your muscles can really like bear down on them,
right,
which
exactly.
is also really good for internal G-spot stimulation. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pressure is key.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone wants to hear more about the G-spot, me and Ryan are going to be teaching the G-spot workshop at Sex Expo at the end of September.
That's
so,
the weekend of the 23rd,
I believe,
right?
So, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's in Brooklyn, and
it's
free. You just have to go to their website, sexexpo.com, and you get free tickets. And then for an hour, we'll talk all about how to stimulate the G-spot, and it'll be great.
Yeah, Sex Expo, not Sexpo, Sex Expo, is a really fun event. I did it last year, and I'm doing it again this year as well. And there's like lots of shopping, lots of different workshops. And one of the many things that you can find out more about is the G-spot. So let's stay on the subject of sex toys. And I want to ask you, so I've noticed, Carly, that you have a sex toy tattoo.
I have three, actually.
Oh, will you tell us all about your sex toy tattoos, actually?
My first one was my knuckles. I have some of my favorite things on my knuckles, and I have the magic wand on my chosen finger. And it's just perfect, and it's funny, because when I'm out in, like, you know, muggle worlds, and they're like, oh, what is that, a microphone? I'm like, yeah, sure. But it's the magic wand, and it's amazing, and I love it, and everyone should own one.
So, a wand is a type of vibrator, yes. Right? Generally, like an externally stimulating mm-hmm. vibrator, right? So, while I pass this around and everyone can kind of like get it buzzing, I don't know if the mic is going to pick that up.
It does.
It does. Awesome.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah, right? It's better than the original. It's like,
yeah, so the original, yeah. If any of you are familiar, the original. Magic wand, formerly known as the Hitachi magic wand, actually plugged into the wall, and they now make a rechargeable one, so you can like plug it in and recharge it, which is better for camping, and doesn't make quite as much of a like shaking the house appliance noise. Although yeah. That was part of the fun. Yeah. So what I want to ask you guys is, why are people into wand vibrators?
You can take this one.
Oh, I can wax poetic about wands. Yeah. So besides the fact that they're super duper strong, they're back massager style. So they all generally have a long handle. So you have way more of a reach, especially if you're using it like if you have like a belly or like mobility issues, you have way more room to like move it around and like get the parts that you want to get. But the reason why I really love it is that the head is so broad. I really hate pinpointed vibration, so like bullets and things that are like more like narrow and just intense in a different way, where that one will cover more of like the vulva, or if you're putting it on a penis, it's gonna cover more of like the whole entire bottom part of the head. So it just covers more area, which helps more blood flow, which helps you be more turned on and get more pleasure, which is the name of the game here.
Totally.
Yeah.
Were you saying that you don't much care for wands?
I don't care for wands.
Do you want to tell us why?
It's partly psychological. My mom had one, and there's,
yeah.
You
that'll
know,
do it. Yeah.
There's that, but there's also, like, I really enjoy pretty sex toys.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, and I also have experience with wands or other like phallic toys, phallic like long toys that I get cramping in my wrist.
Okay.
And so I prefer handheld vibration, something that can fit in the palm of my hand, and it's just easier for me personally. And I prefer actually a more concentrated vibe as well. So all of those reasons like kind of take that out of the running. Although like it's fun, it's just not a go-to. For me personally.
Can you tell us what are some of your go-to vibrators?
Yes. I asked, well, now I'm forgetting that there's a Tanga Iroha.
Oh yeah.
And now I'm forgetting the specific product name. I want to say it's like Tina or something like that. And this is the one I was telling you about.
Oh, that looks like a bird.
It looks like a wave or a bird.
A wavy bird.
Yeah, and like it fits in the palm of your hand. The vibe is pretty dissipated, but it kind of like will cover your whole vulva. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
Yeah.
And it does have one concentrated area of vibration, but it does kind of like move through the toy. I actually got that for free from them. I entered myself into like a test our product thing. So,
nice.
Yeah, so I love that one. And then the other one is Revel Body, which they don't make them anymore, mm-hmm. sadly. And I actually just recently took mine apart because it was like getting kind of weak, and I think I popped a like cord or like...
Yeah,
I need to like solder it to back together essentially.
So there's a new product that you'll probably really like that has that similar like kind of a oscillating technology.
Fucking love it.
I can show you later, but it's the Hot Octopus just came out with the Queen Bee, and it's similar to that but a little bigger.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, it's like a perfect little size. Yeah. Those guys who started that company now make like jet engines.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what we're
similar
talking about.
Similar technology.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Cool.
So yeah, that's more my vibe. I'm here all night.
It's funny that you mentioned that you like them to look really pretty, and I am the opposite. I want it to look big and scary and intimidating like me. And it reminds me of, we had a prank caller a couple weeks ago, and they were like, oh, what's the biggest, scariest thing you have for sex at your store? And I was like, me. And they were like, wait, what? Like, I was very proud that I threw off the prank caller.
I'm proud of you, too. Yeah. I'm going to call you for advice.
Yeah, I want that on my tombstone. Like,
biggest, scariest thing for sex. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, let's switch gears.
Okay.
Why are people into oral sex?
So many reasons.
I know, it's broad.
Have you ever talked about this? You've got to have talked about it.
I mean, why talk when you can just do it?
Yeah.
There's other uses for mouths. I don't know if I've ever, I did an episode about cocksucking, actually, okay, with Merritt Kay, but I haven't done a cunnilingus episode, what the fuck is wrong with me, and I haven't done, like, a general oral episode.
Damn, okay, cool, I feel honored. My feeling about it kind of goes back to my slippery thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you've got fluid on fluid, just, like, the tongue, the, like, lips. Like, it's just a very slip and slide kind of ride where you're, you know, there's just so much happening that it can be super overwhelming and intense, and, like, you don't have to do a goddamn thing also. I really like that part.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What about, do you like, are you a fan of 69ing?
I am a big fan of 69ing.
Why are people into 69ing?
Because it's, like, crazy. You can't really focus entirely on your own pleasure, which is, like, this other layer of maddening.
Mm.
I think that I'm super sensitive, so it's actually a way of, like, taking away a layer of sensitivity,
mm,
but also getting the gratification of pleasing a partner at the same time. Yeah, big fan.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
You're gonna try it?
I might. What about you, Carly?
I hate 69ing. If I am giving you oral, I want to focus on just giving you pleasure. I like to, like, hear the sounds of, like, you moaning, and, like, you can't resist me, and, like, I just feel so powerful, and, like, that's why I like it. I just want to top you from the bottom.
Oh.
And, like, make you come everywhere, and so you can't control yourself.
I love that. I think it's really interesting that the sort of default concept of oral sex is that the person giving the oral is the submissive,
yeah,
or on the bottom, or is servicing,
mm-hmm,
the other person. Although, actually, when I had the folks from the Food for Thought podcast on my show, they were talking about how in gay porn, like in male-on-male gay porn, that the dynamic is that the top performs analingus on the bottom,
mm-hmm,
which I was like, that's an interesting, like, inversion of, in straight porn,
yeah,
in general, like, the oral sex is, like, the person receiving the oral sex is the top.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just love what you had to say about the idea that you,
yeah,
are actually the top when you are,
yeah,
having your way with someone,
oh, yeah,
with your mouth.
And there's actually a product called the Cocksucker's Mirror, where it's a mirror cock ring that your partner can wear, and then you can, like,
also check your lipstick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I like to look at myself, because who wouldn't want to look at this? But
agreed.
You know.
So, is that for sale here?
We used to sell in the West Village. I don't know if they still have it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess also, like, you could use your phone.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could, like, have your partner, like, it would be kind of amazing if your partner was, like, filming sort of, like, amateur POV porn, and then you're like, no, babe, press the little button and turn it around.
Yeah.
I want to see,
yeah,
myself.
Exactly.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good ideas for all of you out there. Like, let's say I'm like, I don't think I really like it. How would you pitch me on oral sex?
Man. I mean, there are people that legit don't like it.
That is true.
For so many
no
reasons.
Friend of mine, but.
Yeah.
How could you? But yeah, I mean, I think for me, and especially as a sex coach, I would want to know what the specific issues a person would have, either giving or receiving. And I think that there are a lot of reasons why people feel uncomfortable receiving. There's a vulnerability aspect.
Definitely.
There's also just, you know,
a lot of shame.
Yeah.
And so you're not fully able to relax. And if you're not able to fully relax doing something sexual with a partner, it's not going to be fun. And we've got to work through that stuff before we can get to, you know, this is how you do it, or you know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
you know,
definitely. Yeah.
I wouldn't try to sell anybody on it except by trying to address their specific issues with it.
Yeah. That's smart.
Yeah.
Cool.
I agree.
Do you guys have any other, like, specialized oral sex tips?
On my blog. When I was in college.
What's that URL again?
Yeah, dildo or dildon't.wordpress.com. I teach the blowjob workshops here a lot, and when I was in college, I really wanted to be a sword swallower. So I disengaged my gag reflex over time. So that makes me an amazing cocksucker. So basically, there's like a whole list of tips on there to like disengage your gag reflex, which makes it really easy to deep throat. So
I would say that that is also true whatever the genitalia yeah. in your mouth. Like sometimes that is surprising
yeah.
when that something can be sort of like just on the inside of your mm-hmm. mouth, but also still activating
yeah.
your gag reflex, or when someone squirts down your throat, which
yeah.
can, you know,
yeah.
give me a warning.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What about you, Maisha?
Yeah, I mean, again, it kind of goes back to specific issues that people have around it, and I think the best way to be good at anything is communication with your partner
yeah.
and trying to figure out what they specifically like versus mm-hmm. what you're willing to do and not do.
Yeah.
So that's when the magic can really happen, is when you hit that sweet spot of like, I like doing this and I know you love, you know,
mm-hmm.
doing this way. But I think that, you know, every body is different.
Mm.
So you have to invest the time. That's
yeah.
another thing. So communication and the time to learn any new partner.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for those tips.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why are people into pegging?
Same reason they're into G-spot stuff. It's like full body orgasm and power play and mm. topping.
And they saw it yeah. in some porno.
And they saw
they
it in some porno
it.
And they want to try it.
Yeah.
yeah, totally.
For sure. The power mm. issue, I think, comes more into play with this one mm. than with G-spot, because there is, there's just
yeah.
so much control that you have in that moment.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to define pegging for the group? I feel like we might have some people here who know what pegging is.
So the literal, like, porn definition is when a woman wears a strap-on and penetrates a man, because...
In the butt.
Yeah. Because men are fragile creatures, and we couldn't just say it's strap-on sex. They had to make a whole other word for themselves.
Damn,
right.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so, yeah. But it's funny that you say, like, the power aspect is so, like, important, because... A lot of the time when I teach the pegging workshop here, people are like, I want to be pegged, but I don't want the power dynamic at all. Like, I don't want to be submissive. And I don't feel like most people in their personal lives are using pegging as, like, power play dynamic. Although, like, personally, that's why I love it. Because, like, especially if you're big and masculine and a big old bear, like, I want to put all the things in your butt. But, like, not everyone wants to be dominated by a beautiful woman.
Yeah. No friends of mine.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this yeah. is, it's a really interesting thing that you bring up. I mean, that's really true for everything,
yeah.
that if there is something that you're curious about, you don't have to limit yourself to anything, really, of
yeah.
any preconceived notion about what role you have to play or what the tone has to be or what the style has to be. You can bring your own style, your own identity, your own desire to anything that you do. So
yep.
even if you want to try pegging because you're turned on by seeing it in femdom porn, for example, that doesn't mean that you have to like be a little worm bitch in order to take it,
what we were talking about with like topping from the bottom with like oral, like
right.
just because you want someone to penetrate you doesn't mean you want to be submissive about it.
Right.
Like you can power bottom me and fuck the shit out of me. Like
Lord knows.
Please, please throw me around. I'd love to see you try.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's totally true. It is based on a very reductive idea
yeah.
that the person who is penetrated
mm-hmm.
is is the woman, yeah. is the weaker partner, mm-hmm. is the one who is in less control, mm-hmm. and it's just not necessarily true.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the prostate just feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm told.
Yeah.
I don't have one.
Yeah, so I've
heard. It feels good. I like touching.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a lot of civilian friends who will ask me about pegging, who will like want to try pegging, and it's always surprising to me how they like there will be like a cisgender woman who likes oral sex, like where she is the person being penetrated, like her butt is the butt that's being penetrated, and so she knows for her own ass what kind of lube she likes and that she has to go slow and what toys she likes and she has a butt plug and you know, she might masturbate in a certain way or know that she needs to be warmed up before she can like take a cock or know that she likes the feeling of fullness or the pressure on her G-spot instead of just like, again, like the friction of the intercourse in, out, in, out. But then when it comes to wanting to like peg her man, she's like, well, I gotta get a strap on and I gotta get a dick and I gotta do all this stuff. I'm like, you know that you can also, if you're curious about bottoming anally, like even if you have a fantasy of being penetrated by a woman wearing a strap on or a woman with a dick or whatever, like you also can, and probably I would recommend that you explore slowly first. And, you know, also she can wear the strap on while she's like fucking you with a finger or like putting a butt plug in you, like just enjoying that visually. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes people try to like go to that level and then it maybe doesn't go that well. And then they're like, pegging is a disaster, but actually it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
And I think that this goes back to our observation that it's largely influenced by what we see in porn. Mm-hmm. So I've had clients, for instance, that are like, well, I just really want to be able to take a dick really fast in the ass. And I'm like, okay, where are you now?
Yeah, don't worry.
And it's like, really slow and really tight. And I'm like, you know, this is certainly a goal. We can work on that. But like, let's talk about why you want that. Yeah. And let's talk about what is missing from the experience of just being with your partner who is penetrating you in this way and feeling all of those sensations.
Yeah.
The goal is like, no, I just want to be, you know, but there's all this nice, juicy buildup that can happen in the practice of trying to figure out how to get to that. And it's just, everyone wants to step to that.
Like, porn should have, like, you know, in SpongeBob when it's like 10 years later, like porn should have that too, where it's like 30 minutes later, they got like one finger in, like,
because
like you don't have to show the whole 30 minutes of getting that one finger in there, but you should like,
it's like a baking show.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so here we have the ass that's ready that can just like, you know, take it all.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. The great British.
Yeah. Fuck off.
Fuck off. Yeah, I guess the only other thing that I want to say about pegging is that, like, while disclaiming that it doesn't have to have any element of BDSM or kink, it doesn't have to have any power dynamic, you know, explicitly acted out, and it doesn't have to have any gender dynamic of, like, now you're the bitch. It also can.
Yeah, and that's also
and it's really hot. That's really fun and really hot, and it can feel, whether it's something that you naturally enjoy or maybe because of the taboo element of it or because maybe as a cisgender woman you have never, like, had a dick, like, worn, like, a penetrating object and, like, used your hips to, like, fuck someone and pleasure someone. It's fun to do that. I mean, it's fun to do it for the same reason that it's fun to do it no matter, again, like you were saying, all strap-on. It, like, people are into pegging because strap-on sex is amazing.
Yeah.
Really fun. No accessories.
There are a lot of great accessories. I mean, I love all of the, like, leather harnesses. It's really nice to just be wearing, like, a leather cage, like, around my whole pelvic area. Mm-hmm. There are lots of reasons that I enjoy that.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, fun to have a dick. I'll, like, wear it around the apartment, you know? Like, smack people in the face with it. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Hang my laundry to dry on it. No. That would be so inefficient. But fun. Yeah, anything else about pegging?
No, I think that's
it. Does anybody out there have any, like,
thing that they love about pegging that we haven't talked about yet?
Call me.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
That introduction and that sharing is like a very heady feeling of like, yeah, this feels good.
Yeah.
So that's a cool aspect too.
I agree. Yeah, introducing someone to an area of pleasure in their body that they weren't aware of, and being like the tour guide of that is really hot, and also can create empathy for how it feels to be penetrated and how long you can stand being penetrated and how you might feel the next day and how it can make you emotionally vulnerable, which can be a really good thing, but also like just understanding, yeah, how that feels to get it in your holes.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yes. All of them. Yeah. Fill them all.
And why good lube matters.
And why good lube matters. And good communication and not being in a rush or thinking that there is like a goal that you have to get to, and recognizing that porn performers are professional sexual athletes.
And they've prepped for that. It's not just happening. Like, they have prepared. They have eaten or broth or like something for 3 days before.
Yeah. Broth. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yes. That's what every porn star I know, that's like their whole diet is like bone marrow broth.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Why are people into sex magic?
So basically,
I heard some moans.
Everything,
that's nice.
Everything in my life is about power and intention. And I feel like when you connect with not only your body, but like the universe and like the powers that be, it just makes everything more intense. And when you harness pleasure and specifically orgasms, it can make really powerful intentions happen.
So that's all sex magic is.
Yeah, it's just the power of intention. Now no one has to come to my class.
No. I have a feeling probably some people here, their interest is probably piqued by that. Yeah. Yeah, do you have an opinion about sex magic, Maisha?
Yeah, it's awesome. I interviewed Vanessa Cuccia of Shockrubs for my podcast, Down for Whatever. And
can you tell us what Shockrubs are?
Shockrubs are crystal sex toys. She started out with just a line of, not just, but a line of dildos, and it's since expanded into all kinds of pleasure items. And it was interesting talking to her. She brought out, she brought up this concept, which I didn't really think about, which was the energetic transference that you have with other human beings when you have sex with them. And especially if you're in a position of being penetrated, you're introducing another human being into your ecosphere.
Yeah.
And how powerful that can be on so many levels, positive and negative. And
sometimes a little bit of both.
Sometimes a little bit of both, or it's, you know, it's complicated, as the kids say. But yeah, I think it was interesting to me because I hadn't really thought of that energetic exchange. And I think which is sex magic.
Yeah,
I think that is something that we as a culture have gotten away from, is thinking about a sexual ceremony or a way that we do invoke intention into our practice of sex. Even solo sex with ourselves, like,
definitely,
you know, that
maybe
there could
extra
be,
solo
yeah,
sex.
Yeah, exactly. Like that can be a space of growth and connection, deep connection to the world, to the creator, and it's super powerful, and it's interesting to start thinking of those things when you're potentially going to have a new partner. It's like, do I want your energy, bro?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, in some of my early readings about the occult, I was always really impressed by how many occultists like used butt sex in their like magical rituals. I was like, all right, I can get into this. And then I did a lot of reading and had some friends, especially in my early 20s, who did a lot of like spell casting around masturbation with the idea, and this was sort of the, I'm like part Mulder and part Scully about these kinds of things, right? So there was something about the like masturbation that appealed to my like pragmatic Scully side, where I was like, okay, I actually do know what it's like to masturbate and have like a complete like snap into consciousness that feels different from any other state. And so the idea of like setting an intention in whatever way, and there are lots of methods to do it, but using masturbation and your moment of orgasm to like send that intention out into the world just kind of made a lot of sense to me. Yeah. So even though there's a lot of like stuff out there that I am a little bit more skeptical about, like that's something that I was like, and you know what, if it's snake oil, then that's fine, I've been jerking off, like, exactly. So you know, yeah. Nothing yeah. lost, you
yeah
know?
No harm, no foul.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, should we talk about this crystal lube
or massage oil?
Oh, sorry, I keep yeah calling it lube. I'm like, stick it in me. Yeah. So can you like put this, is it like body safe to like put like
I
inside?
Okay.
so this is if you want to put a crystal inside you, you should get a chakra. Exactly. Is basically what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to talk about?
Yeah. So this one in particular has garnet in it, and garnet on the box they say that it stimulates the senses and banishes fatigue, but in like magical uses they have it has the property of like connecting with your partner. So like I would like, I'm gonna go more into it on my October 18th workshop, but basically like anointing yourself with the oil that has like the garnet charged in it already is gonna like just simplify it, because now you don't have to do that yourself. Because I know like the full moon was yesterday, I charged all my crystals on the windowsill, and now like you don't have to do that with an oil. It's already done for you. Takes some of the guesswork out of it, or like the lazy witch way.
Cool. Well, thanks for going to that cosmic place with me. Let's bring it down to earth a little bit and talk about porn.
Yeah.
So now, why are people into porn is very broad, just huge spread of topics. So specifically what I want to talk about is clip porn. And what I mean by that is porn that is, you know, like usually like smaller scenes that are usually independently produced, often by the performers in the scenes, and often released on either sites like Clip for Sale or OnlyFans or ManyVids, or sometimes through social media or any other internet means to connect more directly with fans, and an opportunity for fans to pay for their porn and more directly support the pornographers whose work they like. So I would love to know what you guys think about this sort of new frontier of porn, and why are people into that? Why do people like it?
You already gave some really good reasons why people are into that you have this intimate connection with a performer who you already know and respect and love to watch, and you get access to different content that they're providing. So there's that. There's also knowing that your money is not going to a production company, even if you like a star, the money's going to the production company and funneling down to the actors.
Right.
So it's, yeah, direct payment. And then, I don't know, there is something that's gratifying about picking somebody out and feeling like you're part of their community.
Totally.
In a sexual way.
Yeah. And in a like so, in a patronage that kind of way, you're
exactly
supporting them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are all really good reasons why somebody should be into that.
Totally. Yeah. What about you, Carly?
Well, I make clips, so I'm into it because I like getting paid. But I also love the idea of people masturbating to me. That's part of the reason why I got into porn. But basically, like, tube sites kind of killed big old porn production companies. So lots of people now really mostly cam or produce their own content. For me, camming doesn't give, like, I get some money from camming, but mostly from clips, because people on the cam, like, it's just an introduction, and then they're like, well, I want you to do this very specific thing for me. And it's like, sure, I'll do that for this amount of money and this amount of time and blah, blah, blah. So it's just a matter of, like, giving people exactly, like, what they want in terms of their fantasies, and, like, they can request you to do whatever, and, like, as long as it's within reason, most people will be like, yeah, I'll do that.
So it's like bespoke porn.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. The artisanal way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the artisanal way to get your porn. It's true. Cool. Well, I've got my credit card out. That sounds great. Because it is the special month of September, our month of Beyonce, I know we're a little biased, but I would love to talk about why people are into Virgos.
Yes.
I mean, I, you know, I mean, I'm like, fuck a Virgo every day, you know, but when I fuck myself. Yeah. And it's great. What are the Virgo qualities that you feel like people enjoy about you guys as sexy partners? And then if you have had some Virgo on Virgo action, how has that been for you?
Virgo on Virgo action hasn't worked out too well for me. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
I think it was the person. It was just like,
So hashtag not all Virgos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But generally, Virgos are very type A, and we know what we like, so it's really easy to please us because we're going to tell you exactly how to get us there. So generally, I think Virgos are amazing for that reason because we, you know, simplify things. We'll give you a list of things to do.
I can relate to that. Yeah.
I have Gemini rising, so that's also like, it's like double communication vibes of like being direct, but also just like being very intentional with words and like having, very specific conversations about what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And that's how I like it, you know? Mm-hmm. I personally think because the sign of Virgo is the Virgin, and it's supposed to be this sort of hyper feminine sign of purity, but not, I mean, there's virginal purity, but there's also like purity of intention as well. And so I have a lot of female Virgo friends, like a shit ton of them.
Me too.
And I do think that we have that, you know, I do think that we, for the most part, have that purity of intention with our interactions, with our community, and with what we do for a living also. I don't know. I've just seen that as a trend with my Virgo friends, and I really appreciate having that. But I also think that there's this like kind of fun thing with Virgos where it's like the virgin whore split. Because I think, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to assume anything about anybody, but I do think that we do a good job of being like, oh, who, me? You know, clutching pearls, kind of like, what? And then, you know, obviously we're here talking about pegging.
I like that. Yeah, that's a beautiful spin on the virgin part of Virgo. I definitely remember being like a teenager and starting to learn about what all of the symbols for everything was. I was like, ugh, this maiden. Yeah. I don't want to have a maiden as my symbol.
She's not wearing any underwear.
her flowing robes. Yeah, but I also like the idea of like purity, more like clarity.
Yeah.
Right? Like a pure mountain stream. Yeah.
You are like a pure mountain stream.
I have been told that before. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I guess the only thing that I would add is that I feel like my strongest Virgo quality is my ability to compartmentalize. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes I am actually quite maybe too good for my own good at disassociation. I also mean compartmentalizing in the sense of like, in terms of dating, I'll be like, you are this to me. And I will be like really clear, like, you know.
I feel
like,
you so hard right now.
Yeah. God. The Virgo love is strong. Like I can have like this person for pegging and this person for oral and this person for sex magic and this person for G-spot, I don't know, you know, and like make that really clear also to that person.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested in muddying up the clear mountain stream with like confusion. I'm not interested in like manipulating people. I'd much rather just have it be like labels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that as well. And I'm guilty of, if you're not meeting your function, I cut people.
Same.
You don't seem to understand.
Just like, oh, no, that's not what this was about. Or like, no, you fucked with the program and now the program's fucked, so you gotta go. Like, you gotta go now.
Yeah.
Or rather, I leave. Yeah. But
I gotta go.
Shoving breadsticks in my bag.
You need those for later.
I've actually had a guy that was trying to like get back into my good graces, like leave an entire pizza at my doorstep because I wouldn't talk to him. And I ate the pizza, but I still wouldn't talk to him.
Man, if I had a pizza for every time. Anyway, that would, how do you do it?
I don't know. I'm just so irresistible.
Apparently. Yeah. Well, now I hope to never piss you off, but now I know that if I do, that will be my my white flag.
We know it about each other.
So that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, pizza is the other piece of the puzzle here.
I could just give you a pizza without pissing you off,
oh,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Pepperoni.
Okay. No. What's your favorite pizza?
I love pepperoni too.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. But
sometimes half and half, you know.
Yeah. Compartmentalizing. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. We'll stop the Virgo orgy. Does anyone have a topic that they want to ask us about?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey listeners, Tina here. At this point in the night, an audience member asked us to explain, why are people into scat, aka brown showers, aka you get the idea. And we went to some pretty graphic and personal places getting to the bottom of that one. So I decided to make it a Patreon exclusive. If you want to hear that discussion and other exclusive content, head on over to patreon.com/TINAHORN and pledge at least $5 a month. You'll be supporting me and this completely indie operation, and you'll get to hear babes talking about things nobody really talks about. Okay, back to the show. Does anybody else have a question? Yeah.
I researched it, but it's controversial and there's also a lack of information. What is the fluid that comes out very quickly?
The question is, what is the fluid that is ejaculated during squirting? Why are people into that? Do you want to feel this one, Maisha? You were talking about this a little bit.
Yeah, so I was talking about the Skene's gland, and you're right, it's controversial. Like I said before, people say it's not pee, and they're correct. It's not pee, but it does pass through the urethra to exit the body, and therefore it's passing through. It's going to carry some urea. But the fluid is actually, it builds up within the Skene's gland, and that's what's causing the engorgement of that gland. The tests that I know of have, you know, again, there's some scientists that are saying the fluid is analogous to prostate fluid, to prostatic fluid. But so chemically, component-wise, it's similar to prostate fluid. But there are elements of it that don't make it exactly prostate fluid. And in fact, like I said, it's a separate gland. It's not a prostate. But that gland has been likened to the female prostate. That's that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this question of, like, what is it exactly is an interesting one, because I think that people have anxiety, we've talked about this a little bit, that people have anxiety that it's pee. Like you might be somebody who would be totally willing to, like, swallow cum, but you are, like, repulsed by the idea of drinking pee, so you, like, want to know which one it is.
Right.
Which is, I mean, listen, if you, everybody can swallow whatever they want and not swallow whatever they want, but also, I don't know, I mean, if like part of the problem is is it safe to swallow? Is it safe to get in your body? I mean, I've seen showers of squirting ejaculate like come out of people, like onto me, onto my friends. I've like seen people like put it in a cup and drink it. They're all fine. We're fine. Like we're not, you know, it's not I'm not a medical professional, but I think it's
organic.
It's organic. And it's consensually extracted, which is more than I can say for like milk. And
damn.
I'm not a vegan. What about you, Carly?
From everything that I've read, it's basically like seminal fluid with like traces of urine because of where it's passing through. So yeah, it's similar to what's coming out of penises, just without like sperm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is an improvement.
Yeah. Who needs it?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. Seminal fluid.
Yeah, and like the reason, just like go deeper into the discussion. I mean, part of the reason that some people, I think when we were talking on the podcast before, we were talking about gushing and squirting, like one of the main differences between, you know, there's like vaginal secretions and then there's the seminal fluid that is ejaculated during G-spot orgasms or for whatever reasons. And like part of the reason that it is ejaculated is basically because the like the vaginal muscles or the pelvic muscles is like squeezing the sponge. So if you imagine like having a sponge like filled with water, and if you can like squeeze it and like squirt it across the room, so like the strong, and this is why we might want to do our pelvic floor exercises, because the stronger that those muscles are and the more control we have over them, the more, you know, the better aim we have, like if you want to get somebody like right between the eyes.
And like how hydrated you are.
That's
like
also
super
true.
Important. If you're taking like antihistamines or something that's going to dry you out, is going to affect that.
Right.
So like drinking a lot of water is like super important if you want to be able to like really make water happen. Like
totally.
Yeah.
If you want to be a fountain.
Would you say that porn has given squirting a bad name?
Why would you say that? Why would you, actually, I'm curious why you think it's given porn a bad name.
Well, I think that a lot of people, if they're watching porn, they're, you know, they see squirting and they think, oh, that's piss. And then there are these comments boards saying, oh, that's piss. And then
is that porn's fault, though?
Yeah. Is it porn's fault? I don't know. But
I think
as
more
a former porn director, I think I probably, you know, stood up for squirting.
I think, honestly.
But I think that people's experience with it, or maybe their first initiations with it.
Yeah.
You know, talking to people who are capable of squirting and say, oh, it's because, you know, the first time it happened, I was worried or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that the most common maybe exposure, and I could be talking at a turn, is, you know, just to witness it in porn and then to think of it as not actually anything but.
I think a lot of times what happens is that, like, what happens with that is that people will put really high expectations on themselves. So it's like, oh, I'm squirting, but I'm not squirting like I saw in porn. Like, that's more of what I hear than anything else. It's like, well, it happened, but not the way I saw it, or not the way I want it to happen. And it's like, I think that's more of what happens. Because I don't feel like I hear that people are so concerned that it's pee. I think people are more concerned that they want, like, more of it. Yeah.
My pet peeve is when people think that they are that because they've seen it in porn, they think it's fake, and so they're just like, women don't squirt. And so I've been that awkward person at the party of like,
I'm always that person.
Yeah, where I'm like, excuse me, like, what? You know, this is something that happens to me on the regular. Like, it's natural. It's you know, and yes, maybe there are some tricks of the trade, but there are also women who squirt copious amounts, and so it's great that they have work. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's great that we get to see that. But yeah, it does place an expectation, maybe an unusually high standard for people.
Yeah. I mean, I think that has more to do with like our general cultural illiteracy with like distinguishing between fantasy and reality in when it comes to porn. And it is, I think we've touched on this a few times with pegging, with squirting, probably a lot of the other things that we've talked about, anal and oral sex too, I think, that there is this sort of paradox where porn sets expectations that make people feel bad about themselves because they're not meeting them, but then porn also can provide the opportunity for people to see what a body can do and like see that things are possible and potentially see people really enjoying themselves and seeing like, okay, if I like train as much as that person does, then like maybe one day I can do that. So I think, I just think we need to continue to have conversations about why we have expectations that we have to be like bigger, better, faster, more about everything, that we need to like squirt across the room and like take a big dick right away. You know, it's like, can we just like, I mean, you know, I always make this Fast and the Furious comparison with porn, you know, like we don't teach kids to drive by showing them Fast and the Furious, and you don't like go see Fast and the Furious and like feel exhilarated by the entertainment and then feel like disappointed that you're just like driving your car and like, and you're like, I haven't driven like out of an airplane today, you know, or like surfed a motorcycle.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
With regard to squirting, I just have one more thing.
Yeah.
I got something to say.
Hit us.
Yeah, I really feel that it's important to just sort of embrace the fact that it does happen, and that I would love for more women to understand that when they do feel that urge, like they're going to pee, to just like let it go and like understand that that's, you know, it's a part of our sexuality that can be super powerful, and that the taboo that it gets mixed in with, which is that you were maybe going to piss the bed,
right,
keeps a lot of women from going, you know, farther, going, crossing into the threshold of like a different type of orgasmic experience.
Or they've been shamed, like they came in that way and they were like, wow, that felt amazing, and someone's like, you ruined my mattress.
Yeah,
and
right.
Like, get another fucking mattress. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Or get a. Yeah.
Sure.
You know it's not pee if one were to smell the area afterwards.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no stain.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Pee would be gross.
Yeah.
After a while.
Well, it would be gross if you were like peeing, all joking aside, if you were like doing golden showers in the bed all the time without like a waterproof mattress.
The couch is going to smell like pee.
That's true. Yes.
But if
I'm just gonna repeat
truth.
That. If you pee on the couch, it's gonna smell. And if you squirt on the couch, it's gonna be fine the next day.
Yeah.
But if you're concerned about all the fluids, they sell a blanket from Liberator, the throw, and you can pee on that, the whole thing.
It can absorb a bladder's worth of liquid.
Exactly. So you can squirt on it, you can pee on it, you can shit on it, whatever you wanna do, and then your bed is clean. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, also, I guess the only other thing that I would add is that piss is really sexy, and that if you are feeling inhibited about squirting because you're worried about pissing on someone, piss on them.
Yeah.
See what happens.
See how great it is.
Yeah.
And then you'll be like, I don't even care what it is.
Yeah.
That would be my advice. And you can do that, you know, in the shower or whilst camping. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I think we have time for one more topic. Does anyone have a burning, pressing topic that they would like to have discussed?
We did cover a lot of ground.
We did, I agree. okay, if so, then let's do the raffle. So how did we do it? Did we get all of the tickets?
Yeah, they're all in there except for these two.
Okay, and then we have to put it in here.
We have this cute, old-timey, golden raffle thingy.
Want one of those?
Everybody get your tickets out, okay?
Tickets.
Just to make it fair, I'm going to mix it up here.
Oh,
God. This is
that
so,
the winner?
So old-timey that...
There's two.
Okay, I'm just gonna do it like this. Okay, we all feel like this is ethical. Okay, I'm gonna close my eyes. Actually, do you guys wanna do it?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
I like to pull things out of the things.
Pulling out is not effective.
More form of birth control.
Alright, 748525.
Okay.
Yay!
Yay!
Thank you. So welcome, glitter pasties.
Well, if anybody wants to get some glitter pasties. There are more of them for sale upstairs. So that brings us to the end of our panel. I would like to very much thank our studio audience. Would you guys like to hoop and holler for us? On this Virgo Virgin voyage. And I would very much like to thank Carly, who works here at the Pleasure Chest. So yes, let's give it up for Carly. And if you want to find out more about her clip store, she said you can just
contact my sex ed website and I'll send you the link.
Yeah. Okay. And I would love to thank Maisha Battle all the way here from California. Do you guys want to say where people can find out more about you on the interwebs?
Yes, for me it's MaishaBattle.com and I'm on social at MaishaBattle.
And her podcast is Down for Whatever.
It's Down for Whatever. I also have cards if people want to take.
Yeah. And my website again is dildo or dildon.wordpress.com, and pretty much all of my social media is makeup and sin.
And I'd like to thank Justine, who has done an amazing job engineering this. And I'm Tina Horn. You can find out more about me at tinahorn.net. tinahorn.net/live is where I'll be posting about this series and any other live appearance. And I'm on social media at Tina Horn's Ass, which is spelled the same as at Tina Horn's Ass. Mm-hmm. And the next one is October 5th, and I'm so glad that you're all here, and I hope to see you again soon. Come talk to us, and you're amazing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.